Yes, he's a Hall of Famer, and he still is working. So we said, you know what? We want to talk to Mark Viviano once again, sports director, WJZ Channel 13, which I saw on social media. You're starting a trend there at Channel 13, Viv, as others seem to be retiring. But, Viv, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate you. Let's start with this. How surprised are you the Orioles only got three All-Stars?
Oh, I'm surprised. I anticipated it would be more, given, one, the team's standing in the American League with the best record. You just kind of size up some of the statistics of those who are qualified candidates, and I think there's an argument to have as many as five or six. Three would seem like extremely low end, and I gather, you know, it is something to talk about. It's I think we all know why they're playing baseball. It's to win games and win a World Series. The All-Star stuff, I don't want to completely dismiss it, but I'll just say this. In my household, my 8-year-old votes. I don't. So, and he votes. He loves his Orioles. So, I mean, that's cool. Nothing to get too upset about, but if there is something they can use from this to say that, you know, it gives them a little extra motivation, God love them, go do it. But, I had a thought. So I did the research. The last six times the Orioles have had four or more All-Stars voted or named, they didn't win a single playoff game any of those years, including last year. So you'd rather just win playoff games, right?
Yes.
I mean, I can't say for sure, but this is a good team, guys. My goodness, they're good. And that's what matters. What will matter in this little, and who knows? And, you know, there's bound to be an Oriole who gets picked as a replacement too. You have to believe some of those guys are on the first to be called when somebody says they can't make it to the All-Star game. So there's that. But all that matters is getting yourselves into October and winning games in October. And this team is going to make some moves on the pitching side, fully expect that to happen, to put themselves in a position to make a strong run into October and not go 0 for October as we have seen for some of these past years where they've had a lot of All-Stars.
Viv, I'm kind of entertained by the fact that, like, for weeks we've been talking about how they need to get better in the back end of the bullpen, and now we're having this conversation that Craig Kimbrell has been the biggest snub, like, but I thought we needed more help, but here's this guy that's been, let's face it, he's been pretty dominant since he got his job back.
Right, and I think kudos to him, but I think Mike Elias would tell you never have enough relief pitching. You certainly never have enough starting pitching, and those would be the areas in which this team is going to make some moves. And speaking of moves, I mean, kind of to your point here, the two biggest acquisitions they made prior to this season were Corbin Burnes and Craig Kimbrell. Well, one's an All-Star and one should be an All-Star,
yep.
So that's two for two. That's pretty awesome. And you have the best record in the American League at the All-Star break. You obviously have you've had some significant injury attrition with the loss of your starting pitchers and obviously Danny Coulomb in the bullpen. But what you have seen too among the position players is how well Heston Kjerstad and Colton Cowser have stepped in to fill a void that for periods of time Cedric Mullins and Hayes were not holding up, you know, to their standard. You can say, you know, the Jackson Holliday call up that certainly fizzled, but that doesn't mean anything about his long-term viability. So Mike Elias and his team of front office experts continue to play this extremely well. And what I hear when the talk is of they got to go get some guys, yes, they're well positioned, and it is time now to kind of graduate from we've rebuilt and we're happy with winning a lot of games from April through September, and it's time to start making hay in October. That kind of moves them toward, you know, something we talk about with the Ravens every year.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're good. We know you're going to go to the playoffs. Now win some playoff games. I mean, Lamar Jackson would tell you for sure. Having as many MVP trophies, too, as career playoff wins, too, does not sit well with him. He wants to win a Super Bowl. These guys want to win a World Series. Again, well-suited to do it with some additions coming. This is going to be a fun second half. Well, a fun week coming up with the Cubs and Yankees to begin with. And you can rewind the tape. What did I tell you about the Yankees a month ago?
Yeah.
They're just not – they're built – they're so clunky. They're old. They're going to have injuries. And now it's Rizzo and it's Giancarlo Stanton. Keep an eye out for Gerrit Cole, given what he went through. This, I mean, that is just a clunky organization full of – I mean, they've got two of the brightest stars in baseball. But who's a – like, 10 out of 10 times I'll take the Orioles over the Yankees. 10 out of 10 times. And obviously you've got to add to your pitching staff there, but I'd take them. I'd certainly take their starting nine 10 out of 10 times, even with – Judge and Soto. I absolutely would, because it takes nine, or at least eight, you know. So I would do it.
Now, Viv, it's kind of crazy. Ken and I were talking prior to the show. I mean, heck, could the Red Sox catch the Yankees?
I've been saying that. The two hottest teams, the two teams to look out for are the Red Sox and the Astros. Those are two teams, and I don't know if the Rangers have fallen so far back that as they start to get their pitchers back, that they could be, you know, make some noise, maybe get in, you know, make a run, get in. But yeah, I'd say the Red Sox are real. Why? The Red Sox I used to describe as clunky as well. They used to just kind of be big salary, veteran guys. Hey, they earn those salaries because they had some great years. Look how different they are now. They're kind of built more like a race car. They've got athletic guys, they've got versatile guys, they've got guys who can run. They still can't field though. That is a problem for them. But they can pitch. No, Boston's real, and I've kind of been saying I kind of expected them to catch the Yankees, and I'm gonna stick with that.
Viv, training camp starts in 12 days. Is it true you scheduled your retirement just before the start of training camp because of your disdain for practice at football?
Boy, you read that one. Well, kind of. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, knowing that I was transitioning to my next chapter, which was not being a broadcaster, I thought it best as someone who's done this job for a long time that we have someone in position to introduce and start covering spring training or training camp. So, yeah, in addition to the fact that having covered the NFL, I was thinking about this. The first NFL training camp I ever covered was 38 years ago. It was the Chicago Bears coming off a Super Bowl victory with head coach Mike Ditka, with Walter Payton, Refrigerator Perry, a linebacker named Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
And my first interview was with a rookie quarterback named Jim Harbaugh. That was in Platteville, Wisconsin, in 1986. And Harbaugh was a rookie. I was a rookie. And there was plenty more Harbaugh to cover in my career after that. From that day on, guys, I still don't – I get the hype about training camp. But it's gotten to the point now – like, I think about training camp in Westminster when Ray Lewis was laying guys out.
Yeah.
Like, they were playing football. Now, there was a reason they did, because it's football. And that's how you practice football. Now there's a reason they don't. It's football, and you shouldn't practice football like that because you have to play 17 games, and it's not worth it practicing hard. So when I go to football practice, I'm watching touch football. I don't know how to describe or judge what touch football is. I've said it before. It would be like going to Sarasota and the Orioles play slow pitch softball, and I'm supposed to tell you who's doing well. I don't know. They're not playing the game they're going to play when the games count. So I don't know. When the games count, you got my full attention and interest. And sadly, the only news that comes out of training camp is if a cart's on the field. That's really it. You know, we can't say, well, hey, Justin Tucker was 12 for 12. Yeah, but nobody was rushing. He's a great kicker. Lamar Jackson was 14 for 14 on passes. Yeah, but they weren't blitzing him. They couldn't. It's like, I get it. That's how they prepare. I've never made a deal of it. I've never pretended to know or think that it was a big deal. It is for the coaches. It is for the players. But for us as fans and media, I think we kind of make stuff up. That's just me.
Viv, what's going on at WJZ Channel 13?
I want to invite your listeners to tune in to WJZ in our 6 o'clock news tonight. I did a story on a local men's recovery program, Helping Up Mission, and the guys get together at 5:30 in the morning, 3 days a week, to go for a run. It is therapy for them. It is part of their recovery from addiction and homelessness. And they run through the city and they see addiction and homelessness. And they come back and they plug back into their program. I was up with them early in the morning last Wednesday. They're amazing men. They inspire me. And it's just another way to show sports and what sports can do for people at very different levels other than the highest levels that we usually talk about.
Mark Viviano, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
You know it, guys. Always good to talk to you. Be well.
Thanks so much.